I'm going to share with you today about why I became so desperate to pray in tongues. Now, I didn't know I was desperate to pray in tongues, but when I discovered praying in tongues as a regular practice in my life, I found out how much I really needed it. I'm going to go back. I'm not going to talk to you today from where I am now. I have gray hair and I've learned a lot about why things happen and about God and about who I am. I'm going to go back to when I was in my early 20s and when I learned that praying in tongues might be something that could help me to overcome things in my life. Now, when we talk about overcoming, a lot of times we can think about sin, smoking, drinking, doing things, unholy practices, worldliness, that type of thing. But I want you to see your flesh, your body, kind of like an iceberg, where when you look at an iceberg, there's 10% of the iceberg is above the water, but 90% of the iceberg is below the water. And it's not the iceberg that you see that kills you. It's the iceberg beneath the water that you don't see that ends up destroying ships. The Titanic, when it hit the iceberg and sank, it wasn't the top part that it saw. It was how big of the iceberg underneath the water that killed the ship and destroyed the ship. Well, your natural body and the natural man that you have to fight with and tend with, the flesh, the natural soul, the emotions, it's so much more than just unholiness in typical language. That, you know, we have so much of the church that they've conquered the top 10%. I don't smoke, I don't do drugs, I don't cuss, I don't lie too much, I don't cheat on my taxes too much, I'm nice, I give to the church, I serve God. You know, so a lot of the church has tackled the top 10%, but if we feel like that's it, that's the goal of holiness, we've missed the whole point of holiness. Holiness isn't about just stop sinning. Holiness is about surrendering to God and surrendering to who you are in Him and growing in Him. It's so much more than just stopping these activities. A lot of people, they live a holy life as far as they don't do a bunch of bad things, but really they don't even know God to a depth that they can walk in who they are, that God, who God wants them to be. And so I was in my early 20s, and I had moved down to Tennessee to attend Bible college at Norval Hayes' ministry. I'd been in full-time ministry already for a number of years, but God led me down to Tennessee to be a part of Norval Hayes' ministry there, and I learned and grew so much. It was amazing how much I changed just in a little bit of time. And, you know, one of the first things I learned from Brother Norval was to worship God and spend time with God was important. And up till then, I had known about serving God, but really, I never grasped at that early start of my born-again walk the importance of intimacy with God and knowing God. I love God, and I serve God, but I was still in a busy serving mindset when it came to God. Well, I'm at Brother Norval School, and I'm in my early 20s. I'm excited. I'm on an adventure. It's an exciting time of my life. I don't have a lot of responsibilities. I'm not married. I didn't have a girlfriend. I was wanting more of God. There was a calling on my life. I was exploring that. But I knew I had struggles internally, areas of sin, yeah, but also areas of insecurities and weaknesses and doubts and all those things. I look back now and I can tell where those were part of my natural man, those areas of struggle. But back then, I didn't know that. Back then, I was taught how to be free from these areas of sin. And I wasn't into any heavy sin, but when you want to be totally sold out to God, even the small things, thoughts and the things that come through your mind, they can seem huge to you. And also not to mention the insecurities and the lack of things in my life, what I would call lack of faith or lack of knowing who I was or just the lack of strength and the lack of characteristics that I really wanted to be part of my life. Those two were things that I struggled with. And so I was taught early on the one way you overcome things and walk in things was discipline. Tell yourself no. Just say no. Or just start to do things. Do good. Do it. Do the good things and don't do the bad things. God is good, the devil bad. And I attempted discipline, but being raised not in church and being raised in kind of a free-flowing lifestyle when I was young, I wasn't ever a rotten kid in any way, but I never knew God. And so I was never really taught disciplining myself. And so I knew that, but I tried. So, just like anyone who tries, I tried, but I always seemed to go back. I tried to overcome fear by being strong. I tried to overcome embarrassment by making myself do things. I tried to overcome weakness by disciplining myself to be faithful. But over and over again, I would be reeled back to this place where I actually just was, when I got tired. So discipline for me worked as long as I was motivated. And I could be motivated for a while in some areas, but then when the motivation left, I didn't want to. Now I can look back and say to my younger self, the truth about who I was, I'm born again. You have a new nature. That new nature is from Jesus. It connects you to God. You're no longer seeking freedom because you're already free. The moment I was saved was the moment I was set free from all sin and all weaknesses. But even though I knew all those things, or I could tell myself those things now, even knowing who I was became a problem because it wasn't about knowing who I was. It was that I had a natural body that I had to overcome, a stronghold. A stronghold is something inside of your natural mind that you believe something about yourself, something about God that isn't true. And it has emotions that push you to walk out the falsehood, the untruth, where God knows better. But to overcome that, to actually mortify that, and to come to a place where I live out of my who God made me and who God says I am, that's the transformation. And so, I'm talking to you like I was when I was in my early 20s. I had these struggles, insecurities, worry, fear, weaknesses. And then I was told to discipline myself, make myself act like a child of God, walk in love, walk in holiness, do these things. And I tried all those things. And I did good for a season until the motivation left me. And then the struggle to make myself do things would leave. And I'd find myself going up and down. And it got worse when I learned more and more about who I was and who God made me and learned more in the Word. Then I felt worse and worse. Like, man, I really am a failure because God's made me this way. I should be able to act like that. I should be able to act brave, act strong, act courageous, act holy, act in love. I should be able to walk in peace, in joy. And I would go up. And there'd be weeks where I'd be changing the world, and then there'd be weeks I'd be wondering, what good am I? I'm useless. I can't do anything. And if I had my younger self, I would just encourage me to not give up. But I tried discipline. Discipline didn't work for me. It worked for me until the motivation left. They shut down all the whole countries with the virus that's going around. They put everyone in their homes, and someone said, yeah, most people, because you can't go to restaurants now, you can't go to the gym, you can't go to the coffee places. Everyone's locked down for this season. from the government, and someone said, yeah, most people don't even know that their gym's been closed during this season. They don't go often enough to even realize that their gym's closed. And that would be me, that there'd be times I'd be so motivated, I would be all in, pushing and doing great. And when I did great, I felt great. But then I would struggle. And again, I'm not talking just about sin. Yeah, you know, I was young. There were some areas, of course. But, I mean, I'm talking about self-worth and strength and boldness and intimidation about things. And I would struggle and fail to do things that I knew I should try to do. A picture of a perfect Christian was painted by people and by preachers and even by the Word. And I looked at that picture and I try to be that picture of what a good, perfect Christian would be. Disciplined, faithful, not exaggerate, able to confront when it needed to be done, able to love and forgive when it needed to be forgiven, gentle, kind, joyful all the time, peaceful in all circumstances, loving in every circumstance, no matter who did what. In all those areas of a characteristics of a Christian, including holiness and control of your thoughts and your minds and all those areas, I was learning who I was. But because I wasn't disciplined enough, I couldn't act like that for very long until I would stumble and fail in any one of those areas. And when I would fail, I would feel like a failure because I wasn't strong enough to walk out or to tap into the source of God's strength. And so I would fail and fail. And then I learned about authority, you know, in areas. If you're afraid of something, if you know, take authority over it. That's the devil, and you know, it's what I was taught. And so I used authority in my life, and especially areas of thought life and sin and weaknesses. I would take authority over the devil. That, you know, I'd have thoughts go through my mind, or fail to some small sin or exaggerate sometimes, and. And I would take authority over those things and say, in Jesus' name, you go from me. And, you know, and the devil, of course, has to flee in Jesus' name. So, off he'd go. And there'd be a knock on my door. And I'd open it up. And there would be the devil again, tempting me with something. Because remember, the scripture says that, you know, God doesn't tempt you. That any temptation comes because there's something in you that desires it. And so the devil doesn't tempt you with stuff that you don't want. He tempts you with things inside of your natural man that may want that, and those desires are the things that are what emotionally from the natural man push you towards sin or weaknesses. And so the devil would come, and I would cast him out in Jesus' name. The devil would tempt me, and I would resist and use my discipline, and then I would make him leave. But then he kept coming back. I'd even say, you don't come back ever in Jesus' name. I cast you out. And he'd just keep coming and coming. And that's what the word, the name devil means, is penetrator, like a rock, that a drop of water falls on that rock and falls on that rock and falls on that rock. And that drop of water, drip by drip by drip, falls on that rock until it's penetrated a hole all the way through. When that drip of water has penetrated a hole all the way through that rock, that's what the word devil means. And so the enemy looks at us and scans our natural desires of our flesh and our natural weaknesses and designs a plan to get you to fail. And for some people, it's, you know, he has a 3-year plan where he plans out for 3 years how to get you to fail in 3 years. For some people, it's a 3-month plan where he plans out and designs a plan that 3 months from now, you're going to fail. And for some people, you know, like in my early days, it was a 3-minute plan. It didn't take them long to wear me out and beat me up and for me to give in. And so I tried resisting the devil. I tried disciplining myself to do better. And I would fail and fail. And it wasn't that I didn't know who I was so much as I was struggling with the desire to really press into God. And how do I press into God? So I would fail to sin. I'd cast out the devil and make him leave my room and my thoughts. And he'd keep coming back until I wasn't strong. And maybe I was weak. I had a bad day. I was tired physically or emotionally. And I'd find myself being pulled and pushed by a desire of sin in some area or weakness. And I would fail. And so I tried discipline. I tried resisting, using my strength to resist my desires. I tried authority over the devil, and I even tried anointing. I'd get in prayer lines, and sometimes I'd get in prayer lines, and I'd be so worried because I was so, you know, it's funny because I'd fight with the littlest thing, and to me it was the biggest sin in the world, but it was just a little thing if you look at what people can do. And the preacher would be preaching, laying hands on people, and I'd be concerned that, you know, man, he's going to lay hands on me, and the devil's going to come out of me. I'm going to wake up on the floor foaming at the mouth, and people will be saying, come out in Jesus' name. But that never happened. And so I tried anointing where I'd get someone to lay hands on me because, you know, I was taught at the time that, you know, it's the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage. And, you know, you're already free the moment you're saved, but walking in that freedom requires you choosing to walk in those things. And that's where my fight was. I didn't want to. I didn't want to give up things. I didn't want to lay my life down. I mean, I wanted to, but to enforce that, every day only worked when I was strong. But when I was tired or weak, I found myself failing over and over. And so the anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. And this is why you go to a church and you see a young man come to church. And he gets born again and set free from drugs. And you know that boy is set free. You can tell in that service that boy got set free. He's excited. His face has changed. His countenance has changed. He's in church every service after that on time. He doesn't leave till the service is over. He was worshiping God on the front row. And he's given up his friends. He's made a change in his life. And you watch that guy. Man, that boy got free. The anointing destroyed the yoke of bondage and set that boy free. And then you look at him, and he's worshiping God, and you're excited for him. He's excited about serving God. And then 6 months later, he disappears. Or 6 weeks later, he's gone. And you wonder, what happened? Where did he go? He was here at every service, at all the prayer meetings, and helping out and doing so good. What happened to him? Well, he got tired. The enemy tempts you by the desires that are in you. That's why he tempts you. Let's look at the book of James. I'll read you just a little verse just to help understand that the enemy designs temptations for us. We'll start in James 1. And we'll start in verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he'll receive the crown of life from the Lord, who has promised to those who love him. Let no one say to him that he is tempted, or when he is tempted, that I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. And so it's clarifying here in James that you don't have to sin. You don't have to give in to it, but it tells you that when you're tempted and pulled towards sin, it's not because God is tempting you. It's not because God is letting you be tempted. It's because there's something in you that wants it, and the enemy is using that as a hook to draw you forward into the desire for sin. So the temptation for sin can seem overwhelming in the moment. It can seem as if there's no other option. The emotions that come with that, your connection to it can seem overwhelming. And this is why people are drawn and fall and struggle in areas. And so thank God that we have a pathway through the blood of Jesus to repent and to get back up and keep coming. But see, this was my cycle, my circle of life at the time in my early 20s. I would go get someone to lay hands on me in a service. I'd get excited about God, and I would use discipline and resist the devil. I would cast out the devil. I would use authority, the anointing from services and from people praying for me. And all these things were working towards one goal in my life, which was, I want to wake up and be the man that God says I am. Why do I have to struggle so much every day to act like the man that God says I am already? Why do I have to fight so hard? Because I got tired of fighting and failing. And see, I was looking at the top 10% of the iceberg and didn't realize the 90% of what I was dealing with was my natural man, my natural mind, my natural emotions, the thought process, the emotions of my past, my family, my upbringing. You know, we spend a lot of time cutting off the fruit of problems and sin, but if we don't deal with the root and kill the root, the fruit of unrighteousness, the fruit of wrong desires and wrong thinking and wrong everything will keep coming up in our life. And we get tired of it. You'll get tired of cutting the fruit, and then it keeps showing back up in different areas. And you finally, a lot of Christians get tired. And I was in my early 20s, and I was getting tired of doing good and then failing and then doing good and failing. Still born again, loving God, been in ministry for years, and worshiping God, loving God, wanting to serve Him, but these areas of weaknesses and wrong characteristics and desires for sin and wrong thinking were a daily struggle. And, you know, when an old guy looks at a young guy, he can tell you need to do this, but, you know, all the years to get there, like, how do I get there to where this is who I am? I mean, where I live it, where I can, when I let my guard down and I let my, when I'm tired and emotionally and I'm tired physically, I'm still there. I'm not a different person, that I'm only a good, outstanding Christian man when I'm strong and I'm putting the effort and I force myself. And yes, there is discipline that's important, and there is using authority, and there is resisting that we all have to continue on a regular basis. But there is also a place where you are who the Bible says you are. You live in that place, and that's the transition. And so I remember, I didn't know I needed it. And I had been baptized in the Holy Ghost. I had prayed in tongues, but at that time in my life, my early 20s, the only need for praying in tongues was really to be peculiar, and you felt like it. You would do it during a service sometimes. I didn't know it was a tool. I didn't know it was a personal tool that connected me to the Helper. I know I was connected through Jesus by my new nature, but praying in tongues connected me to a Helper. And now I can, you know, I'm older and gray-haired and some gray hair and wiser, and I can understand now why and how it works. And we'll get into some of those details. But today I just want to talk about why I became desperate. And I didn't know I needed it. I remember we had a guest speaker at Norval Hayes' ministry in Tennessee, and you might know this man, Dave Roberson. But he came in and was so anointed and heard God so specifically. And God worked through him. I was watching him, and we had a lot of preachers but come through. And I was 22 years old, and this was February, my first year at Norval's down in Tennessee. And Dave Roberson taught basically, I mean, he did a lot of teaching. It was a whole week of two services a day. But he taught, basically, if you pray in tongues, it'll change you. And when he talked about praying in tongues, he meant every day, hours a day, hour after hour, as a practice. Not when it just came on to you, not just when you felt like it, but as a practice, that if you pray in tongues, hour after hour, it will change you. And see, here's where I was at in some areas of my life. I was already free. The moment you're born again, you're set free. But I wasn't growing up in the Spirit. I was still immature in my knowledge of who I was, and still very weak in my discipline and in my ability to resist in some areas. And if you had asked me when I was 22 about these areas that I had hit, call it a stronghold. The stronghold's not the devil. The stronghold is the desire or the thinking or the emotion in your natural soul that you carry personally. No, it's very specific to you in your life. It's very personal. And most people don't know why it is that I desire something that I shouldn't desire. Most people, if they try to analyze themselves, they won't be able to figure out, how did I get here to where I'm insecure, or I'm shy, or I'm broken in this area, or I don't trust God, or I can't find joy, or I can't socialize correctly, or I need to socialize. They don't know how to, we don't know how to research enough to figure out in our own self, our own natural man, why am I so messed up? Why do I even want that thing? Because I don't want that. I want to be a man of God, holy and strong and joyful and peaceful through everything, any circumstances. But why is it that I'm drawn away? Well, it's because there's something in your natural man that the enemy's using to draw you. And I'm trying to stay away from sin, because it's not just sin. Sin is a fruit of brokenness. It's a fruit of a natural man. And so are emotional problems and insecurities and fears and depression. And it's all those have roots in our natural emotions. And so when Pastor Dave taught that if you pray in tongues, it'll change you, here's what I thought. I'm going to give that a try. Because I've tried this. I've tried discipline. I've tried resisting the devil. I've tried using my authority over the devil. I've tried getting under the anointing of ministries and ministers. And all those brought me limited time of success in my own personal walk. You know, I can fight this area of my life, and I usually last a week or two or a month, but then I fail. But you know what I can do is I can pray in tongues. In other words, praying in tongues became a tool that I could use on a regular basis if I practiced it. If I can make myself pray in tongues a lot, but I can only make myself act a certain way for a certain amount of time. So I decided I'm going to try this out. And I got my life arranged where I got up early, and I'd go into the church and I'd pray early, a couple hours before everything. I'd pray during the day, I'd pray when I drive. I started to practice praying in the Holy Ghost. And it didn't feel like things were changing. But it was my best hope, because I tried everything else. The only reason I started to practice praying in tongues a lot, more than a couple hours a day, was because I trusted that Pastor Dave knew what he was talking about. And then when I started to see the fruit in my own life, I didn't need his advice anymore, because I realized that if you pray in tongues, it will change you. Now, someone might argue and say, well, you're already free. Yes, you're already got it all from the moment you were saved and you have the Word of God. I agree 100%. But how do I make that become a part of my life? how do I incorporate that into my life fully so that I'm completely walking in it every day? No one's perfect, I get that. But man, I want to just be able to let my guard down and not fall off a cliff. And that's what my life felt like. As long as I was strong, as long as I was on target and focused and really fighting hard, I had it. I was doing right. I was living right. I would bite my tongue if someone was mean to me. I would forgive those who hurt me. But then if I let my guard down, it was like I'd swing all the way to the other side. And I was acting out the man that God told me I was. But I'm here to tell you there's a life that's so much richer than just acting out the man or the person that God says you are. That's an act of faith, that I'm accepting that the Word of God is true, that I am holy, I am righteous, I am love, I am a representative of Jesus, I have His nature in me. So I can act that out to start out with. I am holy. I'm choosing not to participate with sin. I'm choosing, now I'm talking to the 22-year-old, I'm choosing to be bold and courageous and not to turn to the left or to the right. I'm choosing to accept the Word of God as truth to who I am. Even though when I say that, I don't feel that, I don't find that. Like, where is that person that the Word says that I already am? So acting that way is a step of faith, because you're saying, I don't accept that I need to sin. I don't accept that I need to be insecure. I don't accept that I need to be prideful. I don't accept that I need to be arrogant or I need to be false, humble. You know, there's so much in who we are that in our natural person, the way we see ourselves. It's amazing to me. You can have the prettiest girl look in the mirror and then look at you and go, I'm ugly. You can have a person who isn't that pretty look in the mirror and look at you and say, I'm gorgeous. It's amazing how we can self-delusion ourselves into, you know, thinking things. It's so funny because girls typically, you know, wives typically feel fat or feel gorgeous when they are. And the man, you know, as a man, we can have a pot belly and we look in the mirror and we see a six-pack abs and we feel strong. I mean, everyone's different, of course, but, you know, typically the male feels more secure about their physical self than a female does. And it's a shame that we have to struggle with those things. And so who knows why you feel the way you feel? Who knows why you struggle with areas in your life? You don't. You can try to analyze it, but you don't. And so what I found when I was 22, the reason I was desperate to pray in tongues wasn't because I was super passionate for God. It wasn't because I had a vision. It was because I knew that I wanted more of God, and I hit a wall, a ceiling. I hit strongholds in my life that I just couldn't seem to overcome. Even when you told me I'd already been free from them, I would only do good when I was motivated, but then I would fall again. In some areas it was every day, in some areas it was once a year. But as soon as I let my guard down, I'd go back. And what I discovered with praying in the Holy Ghost, that I so desperately have held on to all these years, was I realized that God wanted to help me. Even though He's already set me free, He didn't just say, you're free, do it. He was willing to help me step by step overcome my weaknesses. I'm not talking just about the top 10% of things that everyone sees. I'm talking about the roots of areas in my life that I didn't even know were there. The enemy was using it to push me into wrong thinking, wrong feeling about myself and about others, about God. And see, the Holy Spirit is God. He knows everything. He knows everything about you. You know, you got saved and became a new creature. Yes. But you're still wearing the flesh, the body of the old man. And that natural body is what is giving you all your trouble. That's where all the wrong desires and wrong thoughts and wrong emotions live, inside the natural man, inside your body. Or you can call it the flesh if you'd like to. But the real you, the person that you are in God, the inner man, the spiritual man, only desires God. That's why there's a struggle, because your outward man was left dead, death, dark, while your inner man was brought to light and life. And so now you have a battle between the natural man and the inner man. And so the natural man, the Bible says we have to mortify that. You hit that stronghold. That's a thought process that tells you who you are when you say the word doesn't say that's who I am. The thought process that says you need this to be safe. And you say, well, the word doesn't say I need that. But then the emotions that come of fear and jealousy and envy that come with that thought. And you have a war sometimes. And I learned that with the help of the Holy Spirit, that He wanted to help me, that I had a helper, someone to walk with me, not run way down the road and say, hurry up, come on, get with it, but someone who would come right where I was, and then gently, because He's a gentleman, they say, but really they don't mean like a gentleman in a suit and tie, but He's a gentle person. The Holy Spirit will lovingly and gently go where you are, even if you're deep in the mud, even if you're broken and everyone's abandoned you. The Holy Spirit will come to you and say, come on, let's go. See, He knows what happened to you in your past. He knows your upbringing. He knows everything about your natural man's brokenness. And He knows how to take with you, because you have to be the one to deal with your natural man. Otherwise, God would have dealt with it a long time ago. He'll help you like a surgeon to fine-tune, go to the place in your natural part of your emotions, and with a scalpel, kill it. And bit by bit, you'll find yourself being freer, walking in more freedom, as you are mortifying the roots of your brokenness, the roots of the things, of these desires that push you and pull you. And again, I'm trying to stay away from just the typical sin. You know, stop sleeping around with, if you're not married, you know, and stop drinking and stop acting this way. Those are all, yes, stop it, fight it. But I can tell you, if you're just acting it out, you're not there yet. Because if you have to choose and choose and choose and choose, there might be a day that you get tired or lonely or emotionally drained or depressed. And then the enemy will come knocking and you find yourself yielding over to that desire. And because you can't be strong enough against the enemy. Let me be clear. You can be disciplined, but the enemy will show up with a, like when I was in the gym in my younger years, we'd have, you know, we'd lift weights and squats, and there were some men who could squat. I could squat 500 pounds. I was very proud of that. And there were some men who squat more than me, but, you know, hey, look at me. I can squat 500 pounds. I can put 500 pounds on my shoulder blades and squat down and stand up. I can do that 10 times. Or I could. No. I'm talking to my younger 22-year self. But what happens if the enemy comes with 1,000 pounds? 10,000 pounds. See, there's some things in life that you need God's strength that you can't be strong enough, and your discipline will run out. The authority chases the devil away, but he'll come back. The anointing will break the yoke of bondage. And I asked God about that young man who I've seen over and over, not, you know, the same guy, but the same scenario, someone come in, get touched of God, get anointed, run with God for 6 weeks or 6 months, then they disappear. The Lord said, yes, the anointing destroyed the yoke of bondage. That young man was connected, yoked together with an enemy of sin, a demon or a darkness, and the yoke was broken in the service. But after 6 weeks or 6 months, he let his guard down. He was zealous for God. He was passionate. He worshiped and he served God and was faithful, but he let his guard down and he got tired one day and he opened the door and the devil showed up. The same devil was there and the same desire was in him, and the devil just offered him another yoke and he yoked himself back up to that thing, and that's why he's not in church, because he's back doing the things that he used to do, even though he was set free when he was born again, and even though the anointing destroyed the yoke in the natural man, he never dealt with that desire inside of him, the brokenness in his natural man. He wasn't broken, but he was wearing a broken body, a broken flesh, and so he had the responsibility in that season of time that the yoke was broken to not just be passionate and serve God, but to work on the desire in him that was against the word of God. Well, how do you do that if you don't even know what it is or where it is or how it got there? God sent you a helper. This is why I love praying in the Holy Ghost, and this is why I desperately turn my life over to it, because I couldn't find the source of my issue. I knew it was my, you know, my natural man, but I couldn't find it. Where did it come from? How do I kill it? How do I kill this thing? So let me just read to you what Jesus said in John 15, and I'm just going to read a few verses. In John 15, 26, Jesus tells his disciples, "But when the Helper comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. He will also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." So he's telling the disciples that I'm going to leave, but I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you a helper. This was so important to me, that because I knew I was dysfunctional. I knew I was struggling with areas that I couldn't find the source to. God sent me a helper. Why would I not take advantage and hold the hand of the helper, the Holy Spirit, in my life? And it says he will show you of things. I'm going to go down verse 5 of chapter 16 in John. "But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I've said these things, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come to you, he'll convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you'll see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them." So Jesus basically tells his disciples, I have to go so that he can come. And not only that, he's saying that I can't tell you the things that I want to tell you because you're not born again yet. So I have to go and die and be resurrected so you can be born again. So then you can receive this helper, the Holy Spirit, and he can begin to teach you the deep things of God that I can't teach you now because you're not born again. You can't bear them. Verse 13. "However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. And he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. He'll glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare, that's important because you're hearing a language of like a teacher. A teacher shares things, shows things, teaches things, verbally shares things. It's not just about being led, like, follow me. It's about being instructed. So the Holy Ghost here is being introduced to the disciples as the instructor, the teacher, the guide, the helper. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. And so I needed a helper. What I discovered, yes, I still dealt with my natural man. I still dealt with my flesh. I still resisted sin. I still acted holy. I still chose to serve God. I still chose to forgive. I still chose to love. I still chose to be bold. I still chose to be faithful. But I also, almost more important than choosing to act the way the Word told me to act, I didn't want to be an actor anymore. I wanted that to be me. Where if I let my guard down, that's me. And instead of letting my guard down and find myself doing all these things or acting immaturely, it's like the video they show, really pretty young girl come out of the beach walking. This older man is sitting there and he's got his chest out to here and he's sitting there and the girl walks by and he watches her, and as soon as she disappears he lets go and his belly comes out about 6 inches longer, and you can see, you know, he's hiding his belly and trying to look buff because of this pretty young girl. And I was tired of being that guy that always had to hold my breath in and act a certain way. I wanted it to be who I was. And this is a transition that the Word talks about, where you, no matter what you're dealing with the helper, with the help of the Holy Spirit, can transition to where you're no longer fighting so hard to act that, but you actually are living in that every day. And when I discovered that by praying in the Holy Ghost, I started with a couple hours a day, and it grew, and I became more dependent. My whole life, I became more and more dependent on the practice of praying in the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Spirit, by praying through me, by me praying in tongues, practicing that, like making myself devote time in my life daily to praying in the Holy Ghost. As I would pray in that unknown language by myself privately, quietly sometimes, mostly, the Holy Spirit would write out a perfect prayer. In other words, He knows what I need to overcome. He knows the areas in my natural emotions that are the hook that the devil's been using to pull me and drive me and push me. And so as I pray in the Holy Ghost, I'm not just building myself up. I am being taught and instructed and helped by God to discover the areas that I have to mortify. And see, I am now a different man than who I was when I let my guard down. Every week, every month, every year, I discovered that I can look back and go, wow, I'm stronger. I know things. I can't tell you how I know it. I can't tell you how I overcame it. I can't tell you how I don't fight those thoughts anymore, or I don't fight those desires anymore. But I can tell you that the Helper, the Holy Spirit, because I took the time to pray in the Holy Ghost as a practice every day, helped me to go in with a surgent knife. And I still had to do it, but He helped me. He held my hand and showed me, cut here. And I began to cut at areas that I hated, that I didn't know were in me, at the roots of things. I'm a different person. In other words, I'm living in a different place when I let my guard down today, miles and miles and miles and millions of miles from where I used to. But when I was 22 and 23, I can go back and tell you, wow, I've changed. And we're going to do more teachings on this powerful tool that you have access to as much as you want. You can have as much of God as you want. Powerful tool of praying in the Holy Spirit, letting your tongue pray in that unknown language hour after hour, making time every day, how much it transforms your life. It changes you. It takes you with God, with His help, to become and live in that place. When I say become, I'm not saying you're not already free. I'm saying you're growing and walking in it now, living in it without a fight. If you have to fight for something, it's because there's something in you that you're fighting against. But if you can get rid of that thing, if you can kill that thing and you no longer have to fight it, Jesus said, the prince of the world is coming after me, but he has nothing of himself in me. No temptation, no sin. Man, if we can get that root out of you, if you let the Holy Spirit show you where it is. Well, preacher, can't you just pray for me? And I'll close with this, but I had over the years as a preacher, many people would come to a prayer line and say, I need you to cast the devil out of me or out of my wife or my husband. And they tell me, you know, like, hey, I have this battle and I need you to cast the devil out of me. And I have to tell them, say, look, I know how to cast out devils. I've been trained by Norval Hayes how to cast out devils. I've cast out big devils, all kinds of devils. But I can't cast out flesh. Flesh can't be cast out. Flesh can't be believed away. Flesh must be mortified. It can't be disciplined away. It can't be chosen not to do. You have to mortify it. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit helping you, you're going to fail. No matter how strong you may look on the outside, let me tell you, the enemy can come with a cruise missile or wear you down like a drip on a rock. You may be the strongest rock and have the strongest discipline. He'll keep coming until he wears you out. But there is someone called the Holy Spirit, the helper, that Jesus sent to help you and to help me. And if you'll practice praying in tongues on a regular basis. When I started, it was 2 hours a day. You can start with 15 minutes. I mean, I had to build up to that, but that was the goal. And it became such a staple in my life because it began to produce such strong fruit in me. I could tell the difference. I knew things I shouldn't have known about God and about ministry and people. He taught me. I overcame things. Things I used to fight with, I no longer fight. And listen, there's people who have come a million miles, but they look horrible. Don't judge them because they've come a million miles. Then there's people who've served God for 30 years and they haven't moved an inch. You can change your life. You can have as much of God as you want, and you don't have to do it by yourself in your own strength. I was desperate that I could pray in the Holy Ghost and still fight, yes, and still act and still perform. But as I prayed in the Holy Ghost, it quit becoming a performance. I didn't have to act anymore. I didn't have to fight things anymore. And I began to live and find myself living in a place, walking in a place. When I let my guard down, I didn't have to fight the things I used to fight. I didn't fall emotionally and physically and sinfully into areas like I used to because I was being transformed. Praying in tongues is a powerful, powerful tool. And that's you letting the Holy Spirit sit down with you and teach you line upon line, just little by little, who you are. He teaches you. And teaches you who you're not. And gives you courage. And gives you strength to overcome everything. You can have as much of God as you want. Praying in the Holy Ghost, it's a powerful thing. I was desperate. And I'm so glad God arranged for me to discover the message of praying in the Holy Ghost. It's changing my life every day. And it will never stop. Love you. Thank you for spending time with me. God bless you.